want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Trippin' Coffee time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Hello, 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 Truth and Coffee Time fam. I am so happy, happy to be with you guys today. It's me, Miss D, and my sidekick, Mr. B, is out doing Mr. B-ish. Y'all know that sometimes when we have to do the podcast, Mr. B have to be on grand jury duty or family duties. And he has peeked his head in here and said hi to Dr. White, but you guys get to be with me again tonight. I am so excited again to bring our resident financial physician, Dr. Cosette M. White. She, again, let me remind y'all who she is, an acclaimed six-time best-selling author. She is nationally recognized in the tax and accounting environment. She is an accounting strategist, a speaker, a real estate investor, just recently a grandmother of a four-month-old baby. We're so excited. Congratulations, Dr. White. She has the expertise of helping entrepreneurs and individuals, small businesses, as they're creating tangible results to make a meaningful difference. She served clients for well over 20 years, and Dr. White has been coined the financial physician as a result of her unparalleled ability to empower her clients to ditch the debt and develop a plan to create the kind of wealth that leaves secure financial legacy. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how to manage an IRS audit and your must-know tactics for reducing your tax bill. Dr. White, welcome, welcome, welcome once again. I'm so excited.
Thank you. I am so excited. Now, listen, I was sitting here listening to you as you were speaking, and you said 20 years. I want you guys to know, and it says that on my bio. But earlier last month, I went back and I actually calculated from the time I started. It's been 33 years since I've been in the tax industry. It's been that long. I started and then I stopped. So,
and I remember we had that conversation before you started and then you stopped, you went and did something else and you felt that pull from God and you're like, come on now. Yeah. I know where I'm supposed to be. And once you got where you were supposed to be, the magic happened all over. Yep.
Yeah. It's been 33 years and gosh, I need to update my bio, but it's actually 9 best-selling authors. And since
we had a very, very
in-depth conversation, I released some books for our children, our youth, the ABCs of financial literacy and some coloring books to help them with, self-awareness, esteem, affirmations, as well as STEM, careers and whatnot. So a lot has happened in a year.
Gosh. Yeah. And Dr. White, so I'm going to get all that information too, especially the children's books, because you know I'm a children's book author. And and so this is great information for me, because this summer I am collaborating with a dear friend of mine who is a new friend of mine and also a veteran. And one thing she does is do community work and help children to learn and to have arts and craft. And she has talked to me about, you know, teaching kids, you know, character reference, character building, you know, how to write a book. And I really believe that, you know, introducing that portion to them in that curriculum would be a great thing, because I introduce other authors' books to them, their parents. Because we, especially our diverse student, they need to get back into that field of reading. I tell my grandkids all the time, my grandchildren, like, reading will take you so much further than watching that TikTok. Read, just read.
Yeah. Vocabulary, opinions, words. It's a lot where we can get from reading.
Yep. So I'm gonna write that down to make sure I put in the show notes so people know that you got that. I'm so excited for you. So how have you been? Let's just get into that part.
I've been pretty good. We just discovered that a lot has happened in the last 12 mm-hmm. months. Mm-hmm. But I've been good, really giving back to our youth over the last year. And this year, just doing what I love best, making sure that I prepare for this upcoming summer to train our tax professionals on a different level. So just really enjoying what I do in life.
I follow you. So I kind of follow your journey as best as I can. And I've seen that you're daunting magazine covers and you're looking quite sexy.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. I appreciate you acknowledging that. Yes. That was the month of March. As a matter of fact, Gleamers Dreamers magazine selected me. And so there I was, cover girl.
Check it out. I'm going to put that in the show notes too, but you guys got to check it out. The magazine, the write-up, and the beautiful, they captured, you know, the essence of you. You all dressed up, you looking sassy. And it was just, it was just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So congratulations.
I appreciate it.
I know more to come, and I know you've been more busy than ever. So I'm not going to keep you tonight, but I really love this topic. When I reached out to you and was like, Dr. Cosette, it's tax time. Can you come share some more information? My mind went straight to entrepreneurs and taxes. And you came back and you said, wait, you know, we have some entrepreneurs that may be in trouble. And audit time is just, you know, as scary. Let's talk about how to work through that. I am a person who has been audited 4 times. And it is such a scary thing to have to take everything you own into a tax office and explain why you did what, and then not have the knowledge behind you. Because the first couple of times it happened to us, we didn't have enough knowledge behind us to advocate for ourselves. You know, so thank you so much, so much.
Absolutely. So I'm going to start this off, first of all, by saying never attempt to represent yourself. Mm. She
failed miserably.
She did not have the knowledge. She mm-hmm. did not know. And so when we attempt to represent ourselves, we can easily find ourselves coming out with a tax bill versus having someone else, a tax attorney, an enrolled agent, represent us, or even our tax professional, depending on what it is. But definitely our enrolled agent or a tax attorney. Now, when I say tax attorney, you all, that is probably once it has gotten to a criminal side. So it does happen, but I'm going to share with you how you can avoid. Now, number one, I want to say this. We can never avoid an audit. I can't avoid myself being audited. Denise cannot avoid herself. You cannot. But there are some things that we as taxpayers need to ensure that we are doing so that we can eliminate some of the stuff.
Right.
Some of the stuff. So there is a difference, you all. There's a difference between what we call a field audit, where they come to your home or they come to the office of the tax professional to audit them. There's a mail audit where they're asking for additional support to justify whatever it is you may have put in that return. And then now, since COVID, we can mail in supporting documentation once we receive those letters. Mm-hmm. So,
Dr. White, we've been through we went through the mail in where we had to send additional. We went through where we had to actually talk to someone and go through our finances over the phone. And then the third one, we actually had to go in the office and sit with someone to go over our books, and horrifying. And we failed miserably. When I tell you we failed miserably because of the knowledge, not because we didn't have our numbers, but just how to present it. We failed horribly.
Yes. Yes. That can make or break. And that's why I said at the opening, you all get someone to represent you, an enrolled agent or a tax attorney. But yes, if your documents are out of order, you may have them, but in the midst of going through an audit, and especially when you're sitting before someone, you may panic. You may not know how to present the information to them, or maybe you've even presented too much to them and you've opened up a can of worms for them to dig a little deeper. So never give more than you're asked for. It's yes, no, not yes, but this, this, and that. Because the but and this, this, and that is like, well, can you show me that?
And that's what happened with that third audit with us. They were like, oh.
Yes. So just know that when you are audited, number one, I want for you guys to make sure that you acknowledge. When you go without acknowledging a certified letter or just the document that comes, then it's saying to the Internal Revenue Service that somehow you believe or somehow they believe that you're guilty. Mm-hmm. Okay. So don't open doors that don't need to be open. All right. From the moment you receive that letter, time has already passed. Remember, the IRS can mail a letter out today. It is date for April 1st. By the time it reaches you, it may be the 8th. You have 30 days from the date of that letter to respond. 7-8 days have already gone by. You don't have much time. Open the mail, jump on it immediately, sleep on it, think about how you're going to approach it. When you are searching for a tax professional, you need to ask the question, are you available year round or is this seasonal for you? If I get a letter in the summer months, will you be available to support me? Will you be available to help me? What I want to say to every single one of us, including myself, all of us, when we go before a tax professional, you are paying to have your taxes prepared. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again. You're paying for the preparation of the return, the taxes. You're not paying for audit work. So you need to be clear when you sit before your professional, what does this represent? He or she is probably going to say tax preparation. That's why my fees are what they are. If you want audit service, audit protection, please ask. Most of us offer audit protection, which is typically a lot less during tax season versus if we have to represent you. All right.
We learned that part the hard way too, because we learned that the person who was preparing our tax at the time was like during the off months, they don't really work. They had another job. You know, mm-hmm. That's the person that we've been working with now for like 4 or 5 years all year round. So yeah. I can email him about any audit questions, anything, and he emails me back, hey, yes, this is how much I charge, this is what they're going to ask you. But I'm telling you, we learned the hard way. It cost us thousands and thousands of dollars too.
Yes, yes. And so some of the ways that I want you all to really consider how you can get audit, and I'm going to start with some of the easier ways, and that is carrying dependents on your return in which you're not supposed to. Okay. Mm. You may feel like, oh, I claimed or I took care of my mother, but there are certain guidelines and rules that we as a professional should be asking you before you come and say, oh, I have my mom who is a dependent. There's a list of questions we should be asking. There are a list of documents that we should be collecting. And you, as well as myself, we need to keep those documents stored, and we're required to store them for 3 years. So that is a sure way to get in trouble or get audited. And those are probably a paper audit. Provide proof that you took care of your mom. Taking the earned income tax credit when you're not supposed to. Okay. Now, on both of these credits that I just mentioned, it's an automatic fine, $600 per each of those. The head of household, taking a dependent that you're not supposed to. 600 and 600 right there is 1200. Then if they take away your privilege, and I say your privilege as a taxpayer to file as head of household or earn income tax credit for future years, they take it away. They take it away. That is money that is going down the drain. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not only are you penalized, we as the professional, we can be penalized as well because we did not document and we did not check your return. So that's one way. Another way that I see people being audited, taxpayers being audited, and I hear people say, well, I don't know how, it was random. It was random, you all, but the system picks up small things that become big things. When we round, have round even numbers, that is immediately like a red flag. When you claim things such as...
give us an example, Dr. White, when you say that.
So let's just say you have an automobile. Let's just say here's a good one that I see too often, and I see it in returns where I ask and I do a second look.
Right.
Charity. I see we as human beings, as taxpayers, we donate to Goodwill, Salvation Army. We donate our old household clothing and appliances.
Yep. Every year. Mm-hmm.
Every single year. But let's make it make sense. How is it that year over year over year, you're donating like $12,000, $15,000 to the Salvation Army?
There's
number no. one, when I see it as a round, even number, $12,000, I'm puzzled. And then when I look at last year and I see it, last one of them, I saw $19,000. This year, she tried to present it to me for the first time, and it was a large number. And I said, your return from last year and the return when I complete it will totally look different. I want to let you know that. Mm-hmm. There's no way you all, I'm not going to say no way, but $12,000 worth of just clothes and household appliances, that means you're buying new stuff every year. Awesome. Make it make sense. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
So to me, when I initially looked at it, it was a red flag. We have individuals who say they have businesses. Mm-hmm. And when they have these businesses, it's usually a loss. Okay. When you have a loss, you create a small business. You're lying. That's fraud. And you're doing it. Someone may be doing it to create an earned income tax credit. All the other credits that fall along with it. So what the government is saying, you're lying. We gave you all this money.
Right.
We did direct deposit. So we sent you this money via wire, you know, electronically, federal funds come in. So it gets a lot deeper than we think. And we have to make sure that we are reviewing our tax return. Mm-hmm. Most of us know we in this industry are doing things virtually these days. So I say to every taxpayer that's listening to me under the sound of my voice, please, and I'm begging and pleading with you, check your return before you just sign on the dotted line, because once you sign, you are ultimately responsible. They can, if they choose to, go after me, the tax professional, but you're going to be the first in line to get that letter. All right.
Dr. White,
another way.
Go ahead.
We talked about this before we came on live.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a situation whereby innocently you did everything correct, but you didn't check your tax return before it was transmitted. Someone decided that they were going to add charitable contributions, that they were going to add a small business. You did not know. You trusted this person.
Right.
And so you signed the document without checking the document. You still had no idea. It was like, how did I get back so much money? I usually don't get back this much, but you went with it. You just, I wonder how much, but you went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are months later, sometimes years later, and the IRS is sending you a note. Well, in this case, it could be a situation as we spoke about earlier.
Right.
The IRS is hot on XYZ in town because XYZ was making the same types of mistakes on everyone's return. One person complained and it created an audit for everyone. And oh, what happened? Oops. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Dr. White.
Wait, something popped up on my screen. I don't know. Oh, gosh.
Okay, something popped up. But it created an audit for all of the clients that have this same type of item in their return. So that could possibly be what happened to you. Maybe it was an office that got audited.
And
You
so
would never know. You would never know unless the IRS personally knocked on your door and said, "Hi, we're here. We have a few questions to ask about your 2022 return." You know, no, you're just thinking like, what happened? But when in reality, you and the whole community got a visit from the IRS inquiring about the returns prepared at XYZ's office. So that's how that happens. And once you're in the system, they're going to check a couple of years after to ensure that you are following the guidelines as they recommended when
Yeah,
they
because
audited
one.
it and find you.
Yeah, because once you're audited, once we got audited that first time, it was three, four times after that, right back to back, back to back.
Yes.
They say random, but I'm telling you, once they got you in there, they start checking now to see how long have you been doing this? How long has this been happening?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, automatically they're going to check the past 3 years. So they're going to check the current plus the 2 or 3 years behind to see what was the pattern, was the same thing followed. And if they find that this is 23, they find 23, 22, and 21 all had the same mistake. Guess what? You're paying for all of those 3 years, the mistake that was done.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. White, let me ask you a question. So we have a couple of friends who are entrepreneurs, and some of them are new entrepreneurs. One has been an entrepreneur for maybe 3 or 4 years, but they haven't made any money. No money. They're still trying to figure it all out as far as their business. Do they have to file anything? They've made nothing. They have these businesses, but they've made nothing. Do they have to file anything, and will that position them to get audited when they do?
Okay, so very good question. The only reason they don't have to file unless they are an S corp, C corp partnership or estate. If they're just an LLC or a sole proprietor, they're not obligated to file because they only have expenses and no income to offset it. Will
Got it.
it raise a red flag in the future? No. If they were supposed to file as an S corp, C corp, or any of the other entities, yes, because those entities state you must file a return even if you don't have any income or expenses to claim.
That's some good information. I did not know that. Did not know that. Thank you.
And not only are the S corp especially, you will be penalized for every month that you are late. And you will be penalized depending on how many shareholders are on the S Corp. So if it is 100 shareholders, all 100 of you will be penalized for every month that you are late filing your S Corp tax return.
Oh my God. Now, speaking of that, so Dr. White, what is the proper way of documentation? What would you advise the proper way to document everything that you're doing so you can have your own audit trail just in case you're audited by the IRS?
Number one, we got to keep receipts. We got to keep good records. If we're a business owner, we should have some type of accounting system, whether it's Excel, QuickBooks, Xero, whoever. We need to have some type of accounting system that is allowing us to manage. I'm old school, but I say keep stuff in file cabinets. If you want to store on your tablet, your iPhone, your cell phone, and keep them in folders, so it may be. My point is, whatever you put in that tax return, you want to make sure you have the backup to support it.
What's up, y'all? It's Mink. I'm a grandeur. Speaking of grandeur, you should get the book on diverseclub.com, Amazon, Target, and Walmart. You should listen to the podcast too, Truth and Coffee Time. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Bye-bye. See y'all later.
One of the individuals that I know of that's being audited as of right now, really, 1 year in the business, 1, 2 years in the business, 2 years in the business. She listened to someone that's a profession, that's a preparer, and said, do X, Y, and Z. She followed X, Y, and Z steps. And guess what? She's getting audited. $3 million in what the IRS is saying in fraud. $3 million for fraudulent Schedule Cs, which are self-employment, and Form 7202, which was a form specially designed for COVID to say if you're self-employed, were you did you have COVID? Did you take time off? 7202 allowed taxpayers up to 15,100. I think that's the number. So she had 1,200 clients. 1,200 clients for that 1 year. Just imagine how many 7202s or Schedule C she did. Right now, they're saying that the number of fraudulent for fraudulent taxes, 3 million. 3
So,
million, you guys, that innocent. She was listening to another professional that told her to do this. 3 million. She's facing, could be facing up to 5 years of prison time.
how does she rectify that? How does she fight that battle, knowing that she innocently took the advice of someone she thought knew what they were talking about?
Number one, you can squeal on the other person, but that's not going to prevent her from going to jail. She can amend the returns. She can get some education under her belt to reduce, the belt, the time. I don't believe, based on what I know in this particular case, that she can get off with probably 2 years, 18 months, or something like that. But it's going to require fixing the returns, amending the returns before they go to court, showing the judge that she is being coached, showing the judge that she has completed several amount of hours, 21 hours worth of education, and some other things that will need to be in place before it is all presented to the judge and before sentencing.
Is there any leeway with the IRS to negotiate the amount down in any fashion at all?
Well, I think that they, well, that's a yes and a no because she's already like we figured it was 3 million. So will the IRS say by doing the amendments, the amount has reduced to X amount of dollars because she reduced. She probably has that in on her side where she can do that. But in the back of their mind, they're still going to keep that $3 million fresh. They're going to always remember that 3 million because that was the initial findings that they discovered. Yep. So as a tax pre as a taxpayer, I say inspect what you expect. If it looks good, it's not always good, you all. How many people get refunds in excess of $8,000, $9,000, $10,000? If you've never gotten a refund of
I've never got it.
$20,000, why all of a sudden you got it? If you're going to a professional and everybody is outside the door waiting, it's hard to get in. Something is probably too good to be true. So open the mail, read the mail, take action immediately, and pray. Serious pray.
So let's switch gears, Dr. White. Is there any commonly overlooked tax credits or deductions that an individual or a business they miss during an audit?
Doing an audit?
Or just before they file their taxes or when they're filing their taxes? Is there some tax credits or deductions that business, especially small businesses, we don't know what we don't know. Are there things that we're missing?
Number one, I see depreciation. A lot of people expense equipment, chairs, office equipment, cell phones, desks. They expense them instead of depreciating. And when we depreciate, we're spreading the expense over the life, say 5 years, 10 years, whatever the asset is. So that's number one. A lot of people miss out on the business use of home. You're not calculating the total square footage. You're not calculating all of the utilities that are used throughout the home. And, you know, making sure you account for that square footage. Those are two biggies that I see all the time. Other things are, there are credits that are not being utilized, but that requires planning and strategy. If you're not planning throughout the year, you're missing out and you're leaving money on the table.
Right.
Case in point, and I'll say transparent moment myself. Last year, I continued to procrastinate and I did not put a lease together between myself and my company. This year, when I was doing my return, I was like, shoot, I could have really used that, what we call the Augusta rule. I could have used that, but I didn't have it in place. Could I still use it? I was like, nope, because you didn't have a, you didn't have an agreement in place. You didn't cut a check from the company to you. So no, you can't do it. You couldn't prove it. So put that lease in place right now, which I did for renting out my place for 14 days out of the year and paying myself. The company will pay me to rent my place.
Right. Got it.
So it boils down to strategy. And that was just an example of how one can plan, how one can overlook. We're talking about credits. There are a lot of credits that we overlook because we do not know.
And so that's when a good tax advisor comes in, though.
And a tax advisor can also help prevent setting yourself up for failure, setting yourself up for an audit. Because they're going to come in and look at things at a higher level and coach you out of something that doesn't sound right.
Right. Okay, so I want to go back a little bit to the LLCs. What is the amount of money? What is that threshold that LLCs, I know you said anything other than LLC, they have to file taxes, period. Whether they have to or not. But for LLC, what is that threshold that says, oh, you've made this amount, now you got to file taxes? Suppose that LLC makes $1,500 for the year.
So that's a really good question. The IRS says we must report all income. If you made $1,500, then you need to report that on a tax return. If that's all you made, guess what? It was from self-employment. So if you make anything over $400 or more as a self-employed individual, then it must be reported to the Internal Revenue Service. Anything over $400.
Self-employed.
Self-employed.
And you can file that along with your individual taxes, but add that in as a the self-employment schedule in there with that?
Yes, you file your schedule, you file your self-employed taxes, Schedule C, along with your tax return, your individual 1040. They're filed together. They are not separate returns. And what I want you guys to know also for your LLC, and you got to find out what state you reside in, but there are annual requirements that must be complied with. I'm in California. So our returns are due on the 15th of April, along with the $800 fee if we are registered in the state as a limited liability corporation.
Got it. Virginia has some specific laws around LLCs as well. I know because we pay those, but
right.
Absolutely. All right. So Dr. White, what are the, we talked about some of the consequences that business can happen when they mishandle, when your information is mishandled, but how can individuals protect themselves from severe penalties other than, and the reason I say this is because I know we need to get educated, but most people don't when it comes to taxes. When we're really talking about reality and transparency, most people don't. I mean, if I had not gotten audited, those times, I wouldn't have taken a closer look. I'm like, oh, you did my taxes, you prepared them, signed my name, and went on about our business. Most people do not. What are just some simple steps that we can take to protect ourselves from these severe penalties, knowing that we are trusting that individual? It's like us getting on a plane. We trust the pilot. We don't know how to fly. We just trust that he's going to get us there. And hopefully.
I got to be honest, like, being that I've been in this industry so long, and this is like not trying to pat myself on the back or anything. I honestly believe, and let's just put it, yeah. You guys, just check your returns. When your person sends it to you, check the return. Don't allow them to just put the return in front of you and say, here you go. Okay. I go through my returns with my clients. But again, I'm going to go back to this. Because we are in a virtual setting, it's easier for the preparer to just send it to you and say, here, review it. Right. You got to be forceful enough to say, no, I want you to go through this with me. We may be mad because we're in a crunch and we got 40 returns sitting on our desk. And if you want me to go through it, I'm going to go through it. Mm-hmm. But I don't really care. Like me, I know who I am. I'd probably be like, no, I need you to go over this. I need to know what I'm signing. I know what I'm looking at, but I want to hear it from you.
Right.
Because what happens is, if you're audited, guess what you're going to say? Well, I didn't know. I just gave her my stuff and she put it in. I didn't know it was right. I didn't know I was supposed to only do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Maybe I was looking at last week. All I could do was listen. And she said, well, we just gave the stuff to the girl and we thought she was going to go through it and look at it. Because she gave me some stuff and it just was left field, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally left field. Let me give you an example and hope she's not listening. Property. She has two investment properties.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that if you have investment property and you live in North Carolina, you live in Virginia. Mm-hmm. How is it that you live in Virginia and you have rental property in Virginia, but you have travel of $26,000? Where'd you go? Where's your property? You know, you have entertainment of $8,500. This is a rental property. Who did you entertain? Where did you entertain them? So she said, I know it doesn't make sense, but this is how I used to send the last preparer our documents, and I would let her go through them. So I said, well, since we're on the last preparer, she didn't go through them because I'm looking at what's in here and it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So how can we protect ourselves? I'm not saying that as taxpayers, you guys know everything. But what I am asking of you is, and this may sound smart mouth or whatever, but like, let's use some common sense. Let's make it make sense.
Common sense ain't common.
Thank you. But like, let's make it make sense, because when that tax return gets before me or the IRS, we're human beings. We're everyday Joe Blow. And we're going to look at it and say, this don't make sense.
Yeah. Especially.
And we wonder how we get audited.
Especially like you said, another red flag would be if for the past 10 years, I've been getting $5,000 back or under. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting $15,000, $20,000 back. And I haven't changed pretty much what I normally do. Something is not right.
Correct.
Unless we've been leaving money on the table this whole time and they weren't being prepared right from the beginning.
Nine times out of 10, not the case.
I know.
But what I do want to say to you guys is there's a difference between an audit and a criminal investigation. So if it's criminal investigation, that means that the IRS has taken the time and the money to investigate you secretly, or, before they decide we're going to charge, we're going to indict, we have criminal charges against you. So they've done their full investigation and the feds have come out, probably grabbed some boxes, your boxes, whatever the case may be. They've done their investigation. They have all of your bank records. They have all of your W-2s, 1099s from your employers, etc. They may have already contacted Google, whoever your email server is, to get communication, dialogue, phone records, all of the above, you all. And I'm talking about in a criminal matter.
Right.
They've done their due diligence before they said, okay, Ms. Smith, we find you guilty. We have enough evidence that points to you, and we are going to indict you. That's criminal.
Got
The
it.
rest is just is held at the local office. You're in trouble, but you're not like in trouble where you're facing jail time or large hefty fees.
Okay, so I have a couple more questions for you, Dr. White. One is, I know a few couples who are married and they have businesses, and the wife has the majority, or the husband may have the majority, like the 51-49 rule. What is your advice on that when couples have they have businesses together, but they have documented that one has more of the majority? Is there a, I don't want to say, is there a tax? Maybe I do. I want to know if there's tax benefit to that. But then I also want to know, is there a downsize to that? And how does that affect minority-owned businesses? And I know that was like several questions, so let me know if I need to repeat it.
So either way, it wouldn't affect minority-owned business because it's, it doesn't matter color if you do that. Well, I shouldn't say that because if you're going for grants and stuff like that, that's
Yes.
where you can see the impact. But what I want you all to still remind yourself of, we have some states that are community state properties. So it wouldn't matter if it's 49, 51 or whatever for tax purposes and if you owe or if you get audited or anything like that. Now, we do have grants. We do have different things like that that may ask, is it 100% woman owned or black owned or something like that? That's the only way, you're going to find yourself, well, I don't qualify because it's asking for this particular stipulation. I don't foresee off the top of my head any other place that where any other area where it would prevent you.
Okay.
Off the top, I can't think of anything. Now, if I'm wrong, you guys forgive me, but off the top, I can't think of anything.
How does that look on your taxes when you get grants or loans as an entrepreneur or a small business? How does that present itself on your taxes?
There are loans, excuse me, there are grants that stipulate that they are taxable. And if that's the case, it must be reported as income for the business. There are grants that are non-taxable. They're just gifted to you, so to speak, and you do not have to report them on the tax return. When one is filling out a grant, it's going to tell you in the fine print or somewhere up front, this is reportable income. It must be reported. We will issue you a 1099. At the end of the year, that must be reported. So I think it's really important to ask. But most of them are reportable, you guys. Most. A few I've seen that are not. And that was during the COVID time.
Yeah, because a lot of people were getting grants, business loan, economic impact loans. There's a lot of that going around. I know some businesses that are up and running now because of COVID. You know what I mean? Because they were able to get
Yeah,
those that they
there's a lot a lot.
Dr. White, what are some other, as we're wrapping up, what are some other must-know tactics for reducing your tax bill?
Other must known is for our small business owners, we want to make sure that we have things in place such as a solo 401k plan. And I say that because about 78% of Americans don't have the appropriate retirement, and we don't think about it until we're in our 50s when it's too late. And so you need to start that retirement now. It is a saving for retirement, It is also reducing your tax liability. Okay, that is a must. I say it to everyone that you need to ensure that you have that. Even if you're solo, guys, that's the best time. Why not take, I'm gonna give an easy number. Why not take $10,000, put it away of the revenue that you're creating, you're making $10,000, have the company match another 10. That's 20,000 that you put in your retirement for the year. Your business is writing off 10K because you're the employer. You're the employee. You're employed for your employer. Okay. You know what I mean? And so that's one. Make sure this is a biggie. Make sure if you hire help, and I use the word help because a lot of small businesses do not hire employees. But if you hire help, make sure you get a W-9 at the onset of hiring this person. Make sure you issue a 1099 NEC if you've paid them $600 or more. That is so important. If you want to write it off, make sure you do the 1099 come January and get it out to the individual. Okay.
What about our young entrepreneurs, Dr. White? Like for instance, my 11-year-old, she makes custom-made bracelets. She has a whole business around this, and she actually goes to vendors and does events as a vendor, I mean. How do you present that as a, any as income? She's 11 years old.
So she still have to report that income unless it's a business at this point because she's created or generated $400 or more. Hopefully her parents have allowed her to get an EIN number, set this up so that it is truly a business. And so that as she continues to grow, she can put things in place like her credit. She can begin to start setting up, saving away for college and things like that. But she's still obligated, the parent, shall I say. I don't know how much she's making.
I mean, it's not a lot, but she is starting to, like, summertime is where she does a lot of the vendors. She just started last year doing it. And so we were wondering, how do you report that? Would you report that as income to the adults, even though they were given or paid to her? How do you present that?
So we probably can take this part offline because I don't want to, but it depends on how much she's making, to be honest.
It's not that much, but we wanted to ask the question.
So then if it's not that much, if it's over the under the threshold of let's say 13,000, then she's probably okay. And I say that because we got to look at what is the standard deduction. The standard deduction for a little one is 13, not a little one, a single one is 13,850. So if she's well under that, then we're good.
Yeah, she's good. But we wanted to ask the question because she's serious about what she's doing. So it could present itself as a viable business one day, you know.
So then set it up as a structure it as a business and make it work and operate it as a business.
Got it. Got it.
Because it could blossom into something one day and just never know.
Absolutely. She's a little kidpreneur. She gonna figure out something because
Okay.
she's tapping into all kind of stuff. So she's gonna
I'm mad at her.
How else, as we're wrapping up again, how else do we manage an IRS audit, Dr. White?
As I said before, just make sure that you don't represent yourself because you are setting yourself up for failure. Make sure as you go throughout your day-to-day business, you're keeping records. That is the most important thing. If you can justify and show the Internal Revenue Service that you have backup to support whatever went in that return, you're pretty much off the, I'm not going to say off the hook, but you're in good on the good on a headed in the right direction.
Got it. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you wanted to share with the listeners around this topic? And first of all, I want to thank you so much. You know me, I like my notes. And I wrote down so many notes of things that I still did not know. I thought I had educated myself pretty good, and you just bust that whole bubble. So, is
Just
there
to know, take action, you guys. take action because the time goes by fast. Just say if you have a levy, if you have a lien, and they're saying follow the instructions by this day or else, they truly do mean it. The last thing I would hate is for a client to call me and say, I went to the bank and my funds were frozen. It happens. They sent you the letter, they sent it certified. Either you chose not to go pick it up from the post office, you let it expire, you went into the bank, and the funds are now frozen. When the IRS and the state agencies send these out, they are not playing. Okay. Can we do something? Yes, we can do something. It's costly to you as the taxpayer at that point when you reach out to us because we pretty much have to drop everything that we're doing to get on the phone with our IRS hookup and get things done. It means we're faxing over documents. And it's happening really, really quick because we are trying to intercept the funds from leaving the bank or whatever the case may be, or a levy at the job.
Got it. Got it.
Levy at the job. Once the employer withholds that those funds and sends them to the IRS, it's pretty much nothing we can do.
Yeah, it's a wrap. I know
They're
some
not going
people.
to reverse it.
Yeah. I know some people who have gotten that done to them, and I know some people who have gotten what we've gotten done, where we had audited for like 4 or 5 times, and within that audit, they made us take the absolute minimal reduction. Like we had to change our tax exemption and everything. And they didn't ask us to do it. They sent a letter to our employee, and our employer, had to do it. We had no control over it.
Nope.
Like you lose complete control of anything within your pay that has anything to do related to federal taxes.
Right. It's called a lockout. That is what it's called. So, yep.
We were locked out. Thank God we
Yep.
got through it, but it was a hard lesson to learn. So thank you so very much, Dr. White.
So welcome.
I love talking to you. I love having you on the show. I love that you are so willing to share knowledge with everyone to get us where we need to be and to educate us because most of us, we just sign on the dotted line. And so
Right.
I
Right.
know.
And when you sign on the dotted line, you're signing under perjury that everything is true and correct. And if not, they're coming after you.
Yeah, because we're trusting the preparer.
I want to go back to something for a second so that our listeners can hear this.
Absolutely.
In very few states are tax professionals required to get official training. So anyone can take a few classes, or anyone can pick up a book, anyone can pick up a publication from the Internal Revenue Service and begin to start preparing returns. So, in very few states, California is one of them, we cannot touch a return unless we have 60 hours of education. We have to be bonded, and our hours have to be recorded with the IRS and the state of California. Other states come, all they need is a PTIN and they can start doing a return.
Wow.
They could be a criminal, they can have fraud, they can have felonies. Well, actually they can't. Let me backtrack that, because you can't get a PTIN with a felony, but they could just do it under the table still. And we call those ghost preparers. We've heard it all the time. They did my return. I can't find them now.
Wow.
But you paid them. You paid them. And they signed your return. Excuse me. They did not sign your return. You was the only one that signed it. So you got to be careful. And I mean, trust people, but still, you got to inspect and ex inspect what you expect. And when you've been going to someone for a long time, we put our trust in them. And I tell anybody to call me for the first time, go check me out. Go find out something. Go find something.
You know what, Dr. White, that brings me up to this too. The one question I did forget to ask you is that some businesses, they'll go out and they'll do their own taxes on like those TurboTaxes or I'm not sure if you're not educated, I'm not sure if that's as wise. I mean, it may ask you questions, but I feel like it misses things too because only you know your business.
Exactly.
And you don't know what you don't know if you're not an educated tax preparer or audit advisor. You just don't
Right.
know what you don't know. So you go in through this wizard type platform, but you don't know what else to ask or what else to add, what schedules to add. And I think that sets us up for a little bit of failure as well.
Well, I'm gonna say this, and you guys probably not gonna like me, but you get what you pay for.
I
You get
use
what
those.
you pay for. You're paying for a professional. Someone reached, we did text messages today reminding our clients, get your stuff in or else you're gonna get an extension. Someone came back and said, I only got back $609, but I paid this much. I'm gonna try to do it on my own. My exact words in that text was, good luck, happy tax day. If you need us, you know we are here to support you. Go ahead, try it. If it don't work, we're here for you. And I get it, and I'm saying this to everybody under my voice. We truly understand that that times we are in recession, as they say. Things are expensive and times are hard. But on the flip side, why add agony, stress, and a headache to something you could have avoided, just gone ahead and paid for it and know that it's done right, or pray that it's done right, and you're done with it.
Yeah, I've used those platforms years back. I've used those platforms when they first came out, the TurboTax and some other. And one year I finally had my taxes done by a professional. They did my taxes. I got back a little bit more than the previous years, the previous couple years. And I was like, why does this not jive with that? I paid that tax person to go back and look at those that I had done myself on those online wizards and that I had missed things. I mean, granted, it only brought me back about $400 or $500, but $400 or $500 is $400 or $500.
Right, you take that times 4 years, 3 years, you
Yeah.
know.
And I had missed it completely because again, I don't know what I don't know. So I went through the wizard, but there were other things that I should have brought in. Was just a minute.
I mean, and you know, it there's nothing wrong with them. I say that. But if you have a basic return, go ahead and do them. You can't go wrong. So if you have more W-2s, complex information, 1099-Rs, dividends, sale of a house, if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it.
Thank you again, Dr. White. Oh,
Absolutely.
thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate this.
I'm so happy you made the time, and I'm so happy you're feeling better because I know that at one point you wasn't feeling well. So I'm glad you're feeling better. So thank you so much. Can you please let everyone know how to get in contact with you? Shout out to your community, what services that you're offering. Let them know about you. It's going to be in the show notes as well, but just talk to the people and let them know how to contact you.
Absolutely. So first of all, you guys can follow me on all social media platforms at Cosette and White. Follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as Facebook. For those of you who may want to tippy toe and say, I want to learn about taxes, I invite you guys to reach out to me. I will be teaching brand new tax professionals coming up in May. And for those of you who are looking to support affiliate programs, or maybe you want to be an affiliate, we have a tax software. If you're interested in being an affiliate, I can leave the link with Denise for you guys to head on over there, sign up to become an affiliate, spread the word, share the word, and earn some money.
Got it. Yes, definitely give me that information.
And last but not least, make sure you guys head over to Amazon.com. Just put me in the search, Dr. Cosette and White. There's a lot of books over there, great knowledge. They say knowledge is power. There's books for our children, the ABCs of financial literacy, Posey's Coin Counting Adventure, and then there's coloring books for our brown and black children. on positive affirmation as well as STEM. We want our children to see women and men in positions that we don't typically shine in.
I'm going over there tonight as soon as we hang up. Because I got six grandbabies, my grandchildren. And
Okay.
I know we're blurred right now, but if you notice,
I saw them.
I have all kind of children books, all kind of affirmation books. I am really big on them. And it's sometimes a little disheartening because the teenagers, they don't read as much as I would want to, because my grandchildren, they were avid readers. Man, we could, if we were going on a trip, I would buy them a series of books and they read them books by the time we were in on the trip. Now,
Oh.
the teenagers is like pulling tooth, but they'll still do it, but it's a little struggle. But my 11-year-old, man, that little entrepreneur, me and her can read books. She tells stories. She want to write stories.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So
That's
this is really
beautiful.
good. Thank you, Dr. White, again.
Yes. You
You.
are so welcome.
I just look forward to talking with you all the time, and I'm just so blessed that God dropped you, my way. So thank you again for sharing with us.
You're welcome. I appreciate this.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up. You guys got where you can find Dr. White. Her information will definitely be in our show notes, and we're going to get this episode out as quick as possible because we held this slot when we were supposed to get it out. So this episode right here will actually be out Wednesday, Dr. White, this Wednesday. So
Okay.
I'm going to be working the midnight oil trying to get everything set up to get this out. I appreciate you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for following the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Shout out to Mr. B doing Mr. B-ish. Shout out to Dr. White as she's helping so many individuals and entrepreneurs to get this tax thing right and to educate our professionals. In May, don't forget she's having a class in May, and she has children's books on financial literacy on Amazon. We love y'all for real. Follow us, and we are so amazingly grateful that you allowed me, Miss D, my sidekick, Mr. B, and Dr. Cosette M. White to enter into your listenership as we share our truth over coffee. Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee Time. Tell me what you really want to know.